Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson. Lori spends her days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. She talks to students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. She's here to share their stories along with other insights with you. So let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori. Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. So we're back on one of my most favorite topics, which is ADHD and coaching. And today we're adding a little twist. We're going to talk about sports, which I actually also really like. And I don't think that's anything I've ever talked about on this episode or on this podcast. But I'm a big sports fan. I used to play sports, but I also love watching sports. And I talk to parents a lot about how ADHD impacts sports. So today, I am very lucky to have a guest today that we're going to talk all about sports and ADHD. So today I have John Gassner. He is with Order Out of Chaos. And if you remember back to one of our early episodes, we did have, what's her name? Who did I meet with from Order Out of Chaos?
Leslie Josel.
Thank you. If you remember back to one of our early episodes, we had Leslie Josel from Order Out of Chaos, and we talked a lot about ADHD coaching. But today, John is here, and we're going to talk about ADHD and sports. John, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Very excited.
I am too. So first, I think the best way to start is just, can you tell us a little bit about you and sort of what led you to where you are today?
Sure. So I was diagnosed with ADHD as a little kid. And I got re-diagnosed in my early 30s because the prevailing philosophy back then was that you grew out of it. And sports has always been a part of my personal and professional life. So I played 3 sports in high school. I swam in college. I worked in the sports marketing business for many years in sponsorships for ESPN and different sports properties. So it's always been in my DNA. And when COVID hit, like many other people, I wanted to do something different with my life. So I sought out coaching because I had one of the first ADHD coaches out there. I like coaching my kids' rec leagues teams, and I like the coaching aspect when I was an executive and managing different teams in the corporate world. So I got certified as an ADHD life coach, and not too soon after, I joined Leslie's practice, Order Out of Chaos. And pretty soon into it, I brought Leslie, the idea. I said, hey, I think there's something here with athletes. I was an athlete with ADHD. Sports was always, a happy place for me, but I also experienced a lot of the peaks and valleys in sports that I experienced in school and other aspects of my life. And one thing led to another, and Leslie created the ADHD Athlete Coaching Academy that I now manage. And so I work with student athletes in high school and college with ADHD. I also work with non-athletes as well. And it's been a really eye-opening experience, and I've learned a tremendous amount from these young people.
So tell me a little bit about what you see as some of the biggest struggles with an athlete who has ADHD.
Sure. So I think the biggest struggle for athletes with ADHD, and now we're going to talk about competitive athletes, right?
Yes.
High school athletes either play in high school or travel or both, and college athletes, right? It's more to do with less time and having to expend more energy to do it. So there's the executive functioning skills, time management, prioritization, motivation. There's also the energy management skills. So it's not just the physical energy that these athletes expend in their particular sport, it's the mental energy and the emotional energy. So that's where those two things start to intersect of how do you be a really good time manager and how do you be a really good energy manager now that you've dedicated yourself to, practices for 2 hours every day after school, travel time to practices, travel times to games, travel times to travel teams, and so forth and so on.
Do you find that, because I always feel like for kids with ADHD, not that the more that they have to do, the better, but the more structured their time is sort of structured for them, the better they can perform, right? If they always have to be somewhere at a certain time, their time is basically managed for them, right? So do you find that is true, or is that more just sort of a myth?
No, it's not a myth. I mean, definitely sports helps with structure and discipline, right? So high school, you're all set. You go to school, you're in school all day. If you're an athlete, let's just say you have practice for a couple hours after school, so 3 to 5, right? And then you come back. So you have that structure, but when you're coming back, how do you get yourself to do the schoolwork? And that's the time management part, and that's the energy management part. So the structure is helpful, but you've still expended this energy, and your brain is a muscle, so you still have to, you know, get back into the act. So right. Those are the things that we start to work on. And it's not always linear of just high school practice or game and come back and figure out how you do your schoolwork and et cetera. You know, I've worked with students that, you know, they'll plan a travel team for the non-high school part of the season. And they'll have a gap. They come home, they'll have a gap for an hour. Then it's an hour to go to the practice, 2 hours for the practice, an hour to get back. They're back at 8:30 or 9 o'clock. They haven't even eaten dinner. Wow. They haven't even washed up. How do they get to do their schoolwork and get enough sleep? Right? Because that's another aspect of it. More time, how do you make sure you're taking care of your body, the foundational stuff, the sleep and the nutrition? So those are the type of things that we work on. So yes, I think there's a ton of benefits to sports. It's also these athletes are spending more time doing something else, meaning the sport. Yeah. And how do they allocate their time to make sure they're getting their work done? And also to balance, right, is to have some sort of social life. So it's the three S's: school, sports, and social for them. And that's other things that, you know, they can struggle with. So how do you find that balance?
What kinds of struggles are you seeing these kids have within their sport because of their ADHD or that's related to their ADHD? And then on the flip side, what do you see that some of these kids, what are some of the benefits of the ADHD in their sport?
Yep. So from a struggle standpoint, right, some things can be you forget to bring this piece of equipment or that piece of equipment, right? In the same way you may forget your book bag or things in your book bag that you're taking to school, right? Some things may be getting to practice on time, right? Because that's the time management part. Now in high school, it's probably a little bit different if you're playing on the high school team because the field, the pool, the basketball court, they're all right there. Maybe a little different when you're in college and you're on a bigger campus, right? Or when you're playing on a travel team, getting back and forth to practice. Those are some things. Now, the other thing is that some kids struggle with is the motivation, right? So they'll, when they're in the sport and they're on the volleyball court, they got it all down. Now, what level do they want to play? Well, some want to play at a very high level. What does it take to play at a high level? Doing the stuff off the court and on your own. And that can be hard, right? A, to find the time, and or B, when you find the time, how do I get motivated to do it on my own? So those are some things. Now, other people like, and I'll just give you some of my own personal experience. So I played 3 sports in school, and yeah, I had ADHD, so I interrupted. You know, I was impulsive. I didn't always pick things up right away. So, you know, for example, swimming is a very technical sport in a lot of ways. And I was a kid who was a little late bloomer, so it would take me longer to get there. But once I got there, I could leapfrog, right? And if you're interruptive or you're not able to pick up instructions or stuff like that, you can struggle, right? And if you're a competitive athlete and you're not picking the plays up, that can be a challenge. Now, the benefits of it, like for me, I was a swimmer. Well, that can be very beneficial because it's very linear. Do this set on this time and you're done. And I know you said too, Laura, you're a swimmer. So that's easy for us, right?
It is.
And then you're
it's very
water,
black and white.
You got the motion and you're going, you got whatever songs in your head from our, you know, pre-digital mm-hmm. days, right? That's a really benefit. Now there's the physical benefits of it, right? The physical benefits of, you know, firing, wiring those the feel-good neurotransmitters, the mental well-being. There's a lot of benefits there. And there are benefits, as you said, for the structure. right? So there's things that they're doing. And not every, you know, not all competitive high school athletes want to go play college sports or can play college sports. Some of them just like being on the team and they're good enough. And it works for them to have that type of structure and energy expenditure in the day. Now,
well, they also can get their social in there too, right? Because not necessarily for swimming, it's hard to be social when you're swimming, but a lot of sports, the kids can find their social in that place as well. So two birds with one stone kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. And I would also say, you know, that social part, so the benefit, there's the communication skills that you're learning. And it's probably a little bit more for youth sports, but still, you know, you're continuing to developing in high school and college. So there's the communication skills that come with it, the teamwork, the camaraderie. All those things are very beneficial to the ADHD brain. It's beneficial for everybody, but especially for someone, you know, that can be zigzagging and going sideways at times.
So the motivation thing is something not only that I'm very familiar with, just in my own sports history with my own children, but I hear from a lot of parents. They love the sport. They want to go, they want to show up, or they want to be the first baseman, or they want to be the fastest runner, or they want to be the quarterback, but it's getting them to the practices and doing the extra stuff, meeting with the extra trainer, doing the extra workouts. And so, you know, it makes sense as an adult that to get the job, you got to do the work. But to that immature ADHD brain, how do you help kids get motivated intrinsically? What's that process look like when you're working with a student to help them see you have this goal? It's not, you just don't show up and you get to do it. You got to work for it. And how do you help them wrap their brain around that and then find the motivation to do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. We really work on the why. That's where we go. And the two feed each other, schoolwork, motivation, schoolwork, motivation as an athlete, and vice versa. So what's your why? So I'll give you an example. I have a student who's a junior in high school, right? And he's a very good volleyball player. And he wants to be X level better. So how do you get there? How do you find the energy and the motivation outside of everything that's going on? And one thing I'm trying to find out what the why, like what gets you going on the volleyball court? What really pushes you? And where we sort of land is like, I'm there and say like, what makes you angry? What really like gets your gourd when you're on there? Is it someone taking your starting spot? How coaches reacting to you and things like that? And so we went through sort of a little diagnostic of how that works. And we landed on a few things that really gets him PO'd, excuse my French. No. Right. So that's what I try to work on with the students. And it takes time as I get to know them. Like for this student, I've been working with him for close to a year. Some students I've been working with 2 or 3 years. So I can start to get into a little bit of what drives them. But that's where we go. What's the why? Like, what are you doing? Some I've had students who want to make academic All-American. I've had students that want to hit their best time. Right. So we start to find the why and how do we get it in front of them all the time. Some of the other, you know, techniques we'll do, which I'm sure you've heard of many of these, right, is body doubling. It's hard to do stuff on your own. You know, if you're out there working with a trainer and you have that benefit, well, that's great. Can you work out with someone on the team? Can you work out with one of your parents, right? I used to shag balls for my son, and that's how I got an injured back. No, I didn't. I had an injured back already. But I would check the ball.
It made it worse.
Yes, exactly. So those are some of the things that we start to do to look at motivation. What is that why? Tap into it and then start to feed it.
How often do you feel like the parent can be that an effective body double, so to speak? I sometimes feel like, especially in what I do, and again, being a parent, I find that kids will often listen to pretty much anybody but their parents, right? Even if they're all saying the same thing. So is it better sometimes for them to find a friend, a coach, a trainer versus leaning on their parent? Or do you find that you can help guide the parent in how to be a better coach? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on the relationship with the person who can help get you going. I have... Yeah. many young students I work with have great relationships with their parents. And they'll go take a run or, as I said, shag balls or whatever. So I think it depends on the relationship. And the same thing. And some of the young people I work with, you know, they don't have a lot of peers who are as motivated them to do something. Right. So that's if they have a great relationship, I'd say like I offer it up, you know, what would it look like to run with your parent, take the bike ride? What would it look like to do this with your friend? Right. Start to look at those type of opportunities for them. Now, it also depends on the sport and the person. Basketball, I know it's going out of style, but pickup games, right? That can always help you a lot. Or if you're even in a gym and there's multiple places to shoot in the gym, it can be helpful. Like if everybody's around you, that you can go in and, you know, take your 100 free throws, right? Something like that. So it depends a little bit on the sport. Not every sport has the pickup component to it. And I think there's also try to incorporate some sort of element of fun.
Yeah.
Right. Not to be such a slog, you know, have some fun. Like when I used to go in the batting cage with my son, and I have no arm speed whatsoever, but we go in there, we try to make it fun, you know, because it's a lot of work to go do stuff like that. So I think those are some of the elements I look for.
How many kids do you see? So when I think about ADHD, you know, we talk a lot about the things that sort of tag along with ADHD, the anxiety, the depression, that rejection sensitivity. How much of that, I know we see a lot of it in the academic side, but how much of that do you see carry over into sports? And when you see it, how do you address that? How do you help them get clarity?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So let's take, for example, impulsive feelings. And maybe they come out like you're angry, right? And it has to do with the maturity level, maturity of the brain. And do I see it? Cut back to your question. Yes, I do see it. Do I see it 100% across the board? Not necessarily. I think it also depends on the kid, right? Yeah. And where they are, just generally speaking, from a relationship standpoint, from a communication standpoint. And then it also depends on if they want to grow and develop. And so if someone will share with me, like, yeah, like I get a little PO to my coach and stuff like that, we'll talk about like ways that, you know, what's going on there, why are you doing it? Not from a therapeutic standpoint, from a practical skill standpoint. And what would it look like if you didn't do it? And then how to start to get there with some different techniques. So I do see it. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you see a lot of performance anxiety?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see it. Some kids have great confidence. Like they're just like, yeah, so I did it wrong or I lost. Next. I haven't seen it to extremes in either way, but I have maybe not performance anxiety as much as nervousness.
Yeah.
Right. And then what you talk about happens, right? Like you make a bad play or something and say you're at a high school showcase and you're worried about impressing the coaches or whatever it may be. I try to help them just like stay in their lane, right? And understand it's not going to be perfect. So we try to, where we can, we try to work on it. It's a little more sports psychology and I think a little less ADHD.
No, that makes sense.
But if you get to, you know your student well, then you can, then I can get a sense of like how we can start to overcome it.
How much parent coaching do you do for these athletes, for their parents?
So I don't coach parents professionally. I have relationships with all the parents of my students, right? And we communicate through email. We'll have monthly check-ins, things like that. Now, not as a plug, but Aura of Chaos does offer student parent coaching that Leslie, our founder, has done extraordinarily well for the last, since the company's sort of been in place. So, but if I'm with parents and they'll ask me like, well, how could we do this and how could we do that? I'm going to be offering tools and techniques for them.
I think that's important because they're sort of the coach when the student's not with you, right? So they're kind of helping to carry the strategies and the things that you've worked on with the student. They're sort of helping maintain it, right? In between sessions?
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, but I would say this, I will have very candid conversations with parents and we'll collaborate, we'll partner. And, you know, we have very transparent relationships in the triangle of the student, the coach, and the parent, which I think is very unique. So when I have those relationships with parents, we can talk about, so tell me, what do you see? What have you done? What's working? What's not working? We'll have those type of candid conversations so we can plot out a strategy if we need to, of, as you would say, I think what you're saying is like, what can they supplement?
Yeah.
With the coaching, right? And, you know, those conversations go very, very well. And I think it helps to be very transparent because then we're all like, great, we want Amanda. Amanda wants this. Here's the opportunities with the coaching. Here's the opportunities with the parenting.
How much self-advocacy do you work on with students? You know, being able to go to the coach and say, look, I really want more playing time, or I really want to swim this event. I really think I'm ready. I think for kids, especially with ADHD, we tend to be less, you know, kind of stay in the background a little bit. So do you find that you work on those advocacy skills in the sports arena?
I do. I'm going to subtext that for a second. We are big proponents of self-advocacy. And it really starts with school, because I'd say that's where they're probably less likely to advocate on behalf of themselves.
For sure.
Right? And in high school, you know, we're big on strengthening communications with your teachers, definitely obviously with professors as well in a more unstructured environment. And if they have 504s or IEPs, how do you do that? How do you make sure you're getting your comms for everything? When it comes to sports, I try to invoke more of like where I was in the corporate world. And ask questions to get information from your coaches to how do I get here? If I'm on JV, coach, what do I need to do to get on varsity? Or if I'm varsity, what do I need to do to be a starter? And I would do the same thing in the academic world. If they want A's, coach, Mr. Gassner, how do I get an A in this class? Right? That's self-advocacy.
Yeah.
Many times the teacher, the coach, if they're worth their salt, they're going to come back and tell Amanda or Jen or Adam how that works. So I am big on self-advocacy. And when it comes to sports and coaches, I'm a lot about asking questions. Get the information from the coach. Get the information from the teacher on what you need to do. What are you doing well? What are things that you could do better, right? That's not easy for a lot of these young people. I work on like the transition from college to career. And I've had students tell me like, you know, they're all over social media. That's not a problem. IMing, sharing a story, right? I don't live in that world. But they tell me like, but when I have to reach out on LinkedIn or call somebody, that's not really what I am. I said, I'm telling you, going on LinkedIn is no different than when you're IMing your best friend. So the residual effect of the self-advocacy with a coach is it's a lifelong skill. It's a communication skill. So I really do try to press them to have those conversations with their coaches so they can understand what it takes to do for whatever the goal is.
Well, and I think Absolutely. And I like the way that you kind of use the same strategy, whether it's for sports or for school, because if the student is more motivated to perform in sports or to reach their goals in sports, they can use those advocacy skills that they're practicing in their sport than in the classroom setting. And if they're more comfortable in the classroom setting or more comfortable with the teacher, then those are skills that they could practice on the teacher, but then try out on the coach. So it's the same skill in both places. It just depends kind of, I guess, where your motivation lies, right? What's more important to you and where you're going to use it and then transfer it. So do you ever have students who you work with who aren't athletes who you recommend getting involved in a sport because of the good things that it can bring to them as far as their ADHD, the structure, all the stuff?
I do offer it, and I'll take my own advice and ask the questions to them, right? If, say it's someone who's really only in school, doesn't have a lot of extracurriculars, as an example. What do you think about sports? What does that look like at your school? Or if it's in college, I'll have ex-athletes that didn't, you know, they're going to big schools, yeah. They're just not playing at that level. What does intramural look like? What would you like to do? And it goes to, what's the word I'm looking for? Just to give them some more structure in the day, to do right. Be doing things that they enjoy at a level that they want to. And also, I just think it's good from a social standpoint as well. You know, I'll have some students that are only doing one or two things. So for me, it's more offering. And then if they're open to it, give them more of the benefits of what happens there. Some of it sticks. Some of it's like, nope, I'm just not interested.
No, but that's kind of with everything, though, right? I mean, if you can get some of it to stick, that's a good thing. You've won.
Yeah. I also say you need a little bit of a catalyst. I can be a catalyst, and a coach can be a catalyst in one way of starting the conversation. Something else, high school teacher, phys ed, your fraternity. I mean, something that can be a bit of a spark for them to get more involved.
Right. I have a feeling I've missed a whole lot of other things I wanted to talk about, but something that keeps popping in my head is the no pass, no play. How does that affect your kiddos with ADHD who are really struggling academically, struggling in the classroom, and it could potentially then impact their ability to play their sport negatively?
That's go ahead.
Well, as I say, I just feel like then, as again, somebody who struggled with this, it's like, well, why bother? Like, I'm never going to be able to do, like, how do you help them find that motivation to get the work done in the classroom so that they can, I mean, it's a lot, right? It's, there's so many dominoes.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's usually at that point where the student and, you know, is either academically ineligible or has one last chance that the parents are coming to us and asking how we can help their student. And when we work with students, one thing we do that's fairly different from a lot of other coaching companies is we'll do an assessment before to better understand where the student is at.
Good.
You know, what's their commitment to coaching? Is there chemistry and things like that? So we're already a step ahead before I get to the student and we've jointly decided this is something we want to do. And I give you that information, not to plug Order Out of Chaos. I give that information because then when I'm having that conversation, I feel confident that this student is ready to do what it takes to become academically eligible, right? So that's sort of the first part. Then when we're starting to work with them, right, we're going to start to uncover all the challenges that have been getting in the way of why your grades are here and not here where they need to be so you can play the sport. And almost invariably, all these students want to play the sport. They enjoy playing the sport. They have a lot of friends. They get a lot of benefits out of it, right? But they're stuck because they're like, whatever, a D, I don't care.
Right.
So we try, you know, there's a mental shift, but basically it's uncovering what are the challenges be, and then where do you want to go? Some students just want to pass, and that's enough, right? Some students get a taste of, ooh, this is pretty cool. Like, if I manage my time better, if I use time timers, if I body double, I'm starting to get B's and A's. Now I want to do something like that. So it depends where it goes, but I really try to uncover the challenges, get to the whys again of what they want to do. And that very often gets them to where they need to be.
Do you ever have to have the hard conversation that maybe there's a student that's just overcommitted? They're playing three different sports and it's just too much for really anybody, but especially somebody with ADHD?
100%. And it's not just sports. It can be a lot of different activities.
Oh, yeah.
I've got, right? Because I've got kids who do music and DJ on the side and do theater, and they play three instruments. But to your point with sports, yeah. I had a student in high school who was playing one or two sports a semester, right? So the semester and season in high school and the travel club. And then had a part-time job on the weekends, right? It wasn't working. And I had a lot of conversations with him and the parents about it as well. So we are not shy to have that conversation with the family to say, this is our take, right? There's too much going on here. So what would it look like if you didn't do this or that, and see where it goes? And most students are pretty aware of when they're overcommitted on things. And we talk about, like, so what are your goals? Like, if you're not able to get to 30% of the practices for these sports, are you really doing what you want to do? Are you really getting the benefit out of the experience there? If you have to call up your boss at the golf course and tell them you're going to be late for this, or you're doing all that and then the schoolwork is suffering.
Right.
So, and I can tell you that's where everything starts. It's with the academics. It's 100% with the academics. And just so you know, I've been in this space before. If you're a high school athlete and you want to play college sports, unless you are the 100% of the kid with the uber talent that it doesn't matter what your grades are outside of just being basically eligible, you can play at any school for your sport.
Right.
All the schools who recruit at D1, D2, D3, academics is the first thing they look at, 100%. Now, if you're a track and field athlete, or swimmer, and there's times, yes, if you're not meeting certain times for Division I, maybe not. Generally, though, they're looking at your academics. And the higher your academics, the more options you have to play. Now, that's not me pressuring any parents here who have students who want to play college sports, but that's the reality. And, and as you talked about before, Lori, they feed into each other, how you manage your time as an athlete, how you manage your time as a student. And if you can build the skills, the functional EF skills as a student, that you get a much better chance of spilling over into the sports.
It's very true. It's very true. Wow. That's so fascinating. And it really is. I mean, the two worlds are so similar. And I think so many kids struggle to balance, literally to juggle all those balls, right? To keep everything in the air and to play their sport or sports and keep up with their schoolwork, potentially pick up a part-time job. It's a lot. And they get overwhelmed, as any good ADHD student does. And then things, that they start to drop those balls and it's incredibly frustrating. And they start to feel like maybe it's me, maybe I'm not smart enough, maybe I'm not good enough at the sport. And what it really boils down to is just your executive function and getting on top of things and having a plan. And I think once you have that and sort of turn that corner, I think you do start to see, I actually can do both, right? I can be good in both arenas and find success. So I love that. And I'm a giant fan of coaching, regardless of whether you play a sport or not. But to me, the more you do, the more you need somebody to help you figure out what's going to work for you as far as how you manage your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are all great points to surface. And, you know, there's a couple of things. Consistency is another big challenge for people with ADHD, right? In sports, it can be easier to be consistent. In academics, it can be more challenging.
For
I'd say the thing that gets a lot of the kids to the next level in terms of developing these skills is confidence.
Yeah.
Right? That's, to me, a big take. If they have the confidence that they can do it, the metaphor I use is they're going to stop falling down the hill and they're just going to fall off the bike. And it's so much easier to get up the bike than to climb back up the hill.
True.
And I see that with a lot of students, that consistency starts to fall off a little bit. And that's the benefit of having a coach. And we can look back and like, okay, man, you just fell off the bike. It's not a problem. Let's look at each course. What's happening? Where are you falling off? Let's get that back going. Or if it's on the court or the pool or the field, tell me what's happening. Where are things falling off? And invariably, you know, they're losing a little focus, but it's a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a significant piece of confidence. Sometimes it's just a bit. Those are the things. That's the big thing that I found. When they have that confidence, right, it's much easier to push through.
That makes sense. It's much easier to get back on the bike.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if parents would like to get some more information, is it best to reach out to you via the website, email? How do you like to be contacted?
Yeah, so here I have the contact information. Just give me 1 second. So they can reach out at info@orderookaos.com.
Perfect. I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yep. So they can do that. Yeah, I'm just getting back to us. Where'd we go? Here we are. So they can reach out to us there, and then we're pretty responsive.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your day today. This has been awesome. And I do really feel like, especially for those high school, middle school, into high school, into college, those kids who are really committed to a sport, the balance, you know, we talk a lot about the demands of life just only increase as you get older. Well, if you're adding a sport to the mix, that just increases the demands. And so having a plan and knowing how to juggle and keep up with everything and stay on top of things, feel that confidence, the success is going to be limitless. So I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you being here today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lori. And thank you for all that you guys do as well. Really meaningful, important work.
Absolutely. Well, if you guys have any questions, I will have John's contact info in our show notes. If you have any questions for me, you can always reach out at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. Hope everyone has a great day, and we'll see you here next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.